Book of Exodus, chapter 20. Exodus 20, beginning in verse 8. Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 8. We read this. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. You or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. We know that the Word of God is living and breathing. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to pierce between soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, even dividing the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So before we consider this text, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray this morning that you would help us as we consider this commandment, that you would help us, Lord, to remember your Sabbath day and to keep it holy. We pray, Father, that you would bless our church as we lend ourselves to your word. We pray that your word would do its work and you would receive glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look at Exodus chapter 20, we see the command is pretty simple. All of these commands almost seem black and white to a certain degree. We see that the command is set out for us, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. God institutes for us a Sabbath day for rest and worship. In fact, this Sabbath day rest is all throughout the Bible. The Bible reminds us today that we need rest and we need worship. So the question we want to ask ourselves today as we study this commandment is, why does God institute the Sabbath day as a day of rest and worship? What does this Sabbath day have to do with us? How do we work out this Sabbath command? You and I live in a fast-paced world. In fact, the world continues to grow faster and faster and faster and faster. In fact, one of my favorite stories throughout history is the story of how the War of 1814 ended. Do y'all know how that war ended? The last battle of the War of 1814? If we were on Jeopardy, this is a question you need to know, okay? What was the last battle in the War of 1814? Maybe you know a song about in 1814 when we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. Y'all remember that? It's the Battle of New Orleans. But did you know that the Battle of New Orleans took place after the War of 1814 had ended? It took place after the war had ended. They had met, the British and the English had come together, or the British and the Americans had come together. They had settled their differences in 1814, but guess what? Nobody had their iPhones with them in that room, so they could call General Jackson, Colonel Jackson at the time, and say, hey, don't worry about the battle, we've solved the war. No one had an iPhone with them. Imagine that. No one had carrier pigeons. They didn't have anything like that that could be instantaneously sent. They had no emails. They had none of these things. And so the messenger took off on his horse down to New Orleans, and he didn't get there in time. The battle took place as is. But you and I live in a fast-paced world. The world continues to grow smaller and smaller. Information is sent just like that. Tomorrow you can send an email or receive a phone call from China, from Thailand. In fact, tomorrow many of you will receive a call from Thailand tomorrow, and it'll be telling you that your credit card may be something, something, something. And it's amazing that just like that you can receive maybe an unwanted telephone, but a telephone from the other side of the world. We live in a quick age. This quick age is filled with devices that are supposed to make our life easier. I think about often how in the world people built houses 150 years ago without power tools. I think about the manpower that it took. I think about the manpower it took to create the pyramids or any of all these other things. And we today, we've been given invention after invention that's supposed to make our life easier. I love looking at old ads in the 50s when things like microwaves were coming out and things like toaster ovens and things like vacuum cleaners. And all these ads said, what are you going to do with all your free time? What are you going to do with your free time? We have all these inventions to make your life easier, except something went missing. You and I don't have free time anymore. Seems like for all these new inventions, for all the vacuum cleaners and the microwave ovens and everything else, that you and I are still busier than we've ever been. It's faster than it's ever spun. You and I are filled with things to do and places to be and things to accomplish. So a common saying that we often say to one another is, I'm sorry, I didn't have the time to do that. I didn't have the time to get around to that. If you look today, one of the greatest problems in our world today is the problem of stress. That more Americans today are claiming to be stressed out, afflicted by stress, more than any other time in American history. Just recently I saw that the United Kingdom has a new position in their government. He's a happiness coordinator. Because he's realized that happiness in England is at an all-time low. Stress is at an all-time high. And you may say, well, a little stress never hurt anyone, except the nurses and doctors will tell you that stress not only can affect your personality and your mood, but stress upon your heart can weaken your heart. It can cause your blood pressure to go sky high. All these things are happening, and stress ends up being a silent killer. So what does this all have to do with the fourth commandment? What does all this have to do? Well, I think God understood that you and I need rest, and we need worship. So I have three reasons today why God institutes a Sabbath day. Three reasons why God institutes a Sabbath day for us. And the first one is pretty easy. You ready for this? Here's one reason why God instituted a Sabbath day of rest for you and for me. Number one, you need it. You need rest. How does God set this up? He says, remember the Sabbath day. It's interesting that he begins by saying, remember. This is a command that he's going to root back into the creation story. He gives a reason here in Exodus. Why should we keep the Sabbath day? And he says, you should keep the Sabbath day because God created for 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested. Now, why did God rest on the seventh day in creation? Did God work really hard? Did God work up a sweat? Did God get tired? No, our God is beyond tiredness. Our God is beyond need. Need is a creature word. Our God rested because he knew that you and I needed rest. We see two institutions come out of Eden after the fall of man. Both of them are for our flourishing. That is marriage and the Sabbath day. God knew that we needed rest. We needed a Sabbath. And he tells us that this Sabbath, this rest for us, is to remind us first that we are not God. We are not gods. We are not superheroes. There have been many stories of people throughout history who have worked hard, who have worked consistently, and they have died young because the human body can't take it. God is wanting to remind us through the Sabbath day, a weekly reminder. Every Sabbath day, the reminder is, you are not God. You are not divine. You need rest. We need rest. Not only do we need rest, but if we read in the scripture here in verse 8, he says, remember the Sabbath day and do what with it? To keep it holy. We're told to keep it holy and to labor 6 days and then to rest on the Sabbath day. Do no work. Not only do we need rest on the Sabbath day, but we must keep it holy. What does that mean? It means setting aside the Sabbath day explicitly for worship. God knew that you and I are worshipful creatures. Now, that's not really a word, worshipful. If you look at the dictionary, that's not a word, but it works out well. You know what that means for us? It means that you and I, as creatures created by our Heavenly Father, you and I were created to worship. There is not one human being on this earth that does not worship. The question is, who are you worshiping? And the scripture is going to remind us weekly. God gives us a weekly reminder that he inserts into our everyday life that tells us we are not God and we need to worship the one true God. We must worship him. We need it. There is a creation reason to the Sabbath day. God rested, and we are called to bless the Lord and to rest and to make it holy, to worship him on the Sabbath day. We need it. That's the first reason. We have a second reason, though, for the Sabbath. The second is like the first. Not only do you need the Sabbath day, but the second is your neighbor needs the Sabbath day. Your neighbor needs the Sabbath day. And so we read in here, he says, not only do you remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, but he says, on it you shall not do any work. You or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or even the sojourner who is within your gates. The Sabbath day reminds us that you and I as human beings, not only do we need mercy, but we must extend mercy to one another. If you look at the Sabbath command is a difficult command for Christians. Because if we go to the New Testament, we find that every other commandment is re-given in the New Testament except for the Sabbath command. If we look at the Sabbath command, we find out that the Pharisees took a simple command to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, and they placed upon it tradition after tradition, law after law, and they made the Sabbath something that it never was. And so when Jesus walks this earth, he runs into a few problems. You remember the stories. Jesus heals a man on the Sabbath, and the Pharisees come to him and say, "Why are you breaking the Sabbath?" His disciples walk through a field and they break off grain and they eat it on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees say, "You're breaking the Sabbath." Jesus heals a withered woman on the Sabbath and they say, "You're breaking the Sabbath." And Jesus reminds us something about the Sabbath. He says a couple things. First, he says the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. You know what that means? Jesus looks at the Pharisees and he says, "This is my day. I'll do what I want on it. This is my day. I can do what I want on the Sabbath day." He also says something else. He says that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. In other words, God gave us the Sabbath as a gracious gift, not as a taskmaster, not as a master to serve, but instead a gift that you and I need. We need the Sabbath. We need to be able to rest on the seventh day. We need to be able to come and to rest and to worship our Lord and Savior. But he tells us a third thing. He says, "Which of you, having a cow, having a sheep, having a goat, fell in a hole on a Sabbath day, which of you would leave it there?" And he says, "If you would go and save an animal on the Sabbath day, is it not right to do acts of mercy on the Sabbath day?" And Jesus applies that to us today and reminds us that not only do you need the Sabbath, but your neighbor needs the Sabbath. That the Sabbath is a day to do good, and the Sabbath is a day to act merciful. That your neighbor needs rest. And many of us, we have children, and we have friends, and we have family. We have people that we work with, and we must see that the Sabbath reminds us there's a time for work, but it also reminds us there's a time for rest. The mercy reason: your neighbor needs it. Not only do you need it, not only does your neighbor need it, but God has given us a Sabbath day because he deserves it. God deserves it. The Sabbath day. Well, if the Sabbath command is not re-given in the New Testament, then how in the world are we supposed to keep the Sabbath today? Well, here you run into some tricky issues. First off, does anybody know what day the Sabbath day is? It's Saturday. So what are we doing on Sunday? Well, that's a good question. And one we ought to talk about. Well, if you see in Scripture, we see the Sabbath day for the Jewish people was on Saturday. And it's amazing to see how the Jewish people still worship on the Sabbath. They worship as Friday night at sunset, as the sun is coming down, they begin their Sabbath services. They welcome the day. At sunset, Saturday begins on Friday. And they begin on the Sabbath day. But we as Christians, we don't do that. Why do we gather together on the first day of the week, on Sunday? Well, we do it on the first day of the week because the disciples understood something special about the first day of the week. Indeed, it was the first day of the week that Jesus was raised from the dead. And so already, Jesus is raised from the dead. There is something special, significant about this day. And they began calling it something else. They didn't call it the Sabbath day. There was a Sabbath day, a day of rest. But they say that the Sabbath blessings are now applied to the Lord's day, the first day of the week. The first day is when we gather together because this is the day that Jesus was raised from the dead. Moreover, this is the day that we're going to come together and we're going to worship and we're going to rest and we're going to fellowship. This is the Lord's day. But I think we see something a little bit deeper than just resting on the Lord's day. We see a different principle in the Scriptures than just resting and worshiping for the Sabbath. In fact, if you go to the book of Hebrews and look in Hebrews chapter 4, we're told a story from the author of Hebrews. He says in there that the children of Israel, they did not enter into their Sabbath rest because they sinned against God in the wilderness. They refused to rest from their work, and so therefore they didn't enter into the promised land, the Sabbath rest. But the author of Hebrews tells us something. He says that the Sabbath was a shadow of something to come. If I were to leave this room here and we put up a big light back here and I began walking toward the door and there was a light behind me, you guys would be able to see underneath this door a shadow, my shadow, right? And you may speculate, what does that shadow mean? You'll see that shadow, and if you're like my son loves shadows. So if he sees a shadow outside, it's like the best thing in the world, a shadow, right? You may all do that. Maybe you're really excited about a shadow entering the room. But when I walk into the room, hopefully, you're no longer concerned about my shadow. Instead, you're concerned about the purpose of the shadow, the one who cast the shadow. And the author of Hebrews talks about the Sabbath as a shadow. And what did it shadow? What was it pointing toward? What was it looking toward? We see in the scriptures that the Sabbath was looking forward to its fulfillment in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Why did God rest and tell us to rest? Because the Sabbath principle isn't just about daily work. It is about daily work. It is about weekly work. But it's about more than that. The Sabbath commands us to rest from our work daily and trust in the sufficiency of Jesus. In other words, Paul would say it like this. Paul would say that no man is saved by works, but we are saved by faith. We are saved through the grace of God. We are saved not by works so that no man can boast, but we are saved by trusting in the work of Jesus. And so what does the Sabbath day remind us? The Sabbath day reminds us that Jesus did the work for us. When it comes to the economy of salvation, you don't have to earn it. You cannot earn the economy of salvation. You cannot earn salvation from God. You have sinned too much. Your very nature is against God. We are children of wrath, destined for wrath, unless Jesus comes in the picture. And this is exactly what Jesus does. He comes, and did Jesus keep the Sabbath? Perfectly. Jesus says, I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill the law. Jesus kept the Sabbath perfectly. Did Jesus keep every other command? Yes, Jesus kept every other command perfectly so that his righteousness was perfect before God. So when he died upon the cross, he was able to make a substitution. He took my sin and your sin, my imperfect life, your wrecked life, my wrecked life. He was able to take it upon the cross and give you his perfect right, his righteousness. A life without any hint of error in it, with any spot or blemish. This perfect, spotless Lamb gave his life for us so that we would rest from our labors in salvation and we would trust in him. This is the true Sabbath for Christians. We rest from our work and we trust in Jesus. God deserves a day that we remember that. A day weekly we gather together and we confess our mutual salvation. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. And Christ has saved us. God deserves it. So the question for us is, what does this Sabbath day now have to do with our individual lives? When we talk about the Sabbath day, maybe anytime it comes up at Sunday school, anytime it comes up around the table on Wednesday night, or anytime it comes up in personal conversation, here's the one question people want to know about the Sabbath day. What can I do? What can I do on the Sabbath day? In fact, many of us in here have had discussions, and maybe we've disagreed about what you can do on the Sabbath day. There are several disagreements you can have, right? What constitutes work on the Sabbath day? But if we're not careful, we can fall into the error of the Pharisees who said you can walk this many steps, but no more. You can lift this many sticks, but no more. We can become legalistic and make the Sabbath something that we serve other than something that is a gift to us. So I want to make it real easy for you. Let me tell you what I think you can do on the Lord's Day. A couple things. The first thing I think that every believer should do on the Lord's Day is set aside time to gather with fellow believers. God institutes from the very beginning of creation that you and I need fellowship. God looks at Adam and says, it is not good that man be alone, and he institutes marriage. From the very beginning, we see that there are people, called out assemblies, that are underneath God's word, and we gather and we give him his proper glory and honor. You and I need a family. You and I need a church. So every Lord's Day, you and I must set aside time to gather with our family and worship him. We need it. Don't forfeit the blessing that God has for you. Every week, God has a gift for you in worship. Every week, God has grace for you in worship. And too often than not, we sacrifice the grace of worship for a little extra sleep. We say, I am stressed at work. I have so much going on. I just want a day to relax. But the problem is there is no relaxation like spiritual hydration. There is no relaxation like spiritual hydration and relaxation, a spiritual R&R, if you will. And this is what God gives us weekly. We live in an amazing time, and if you get sick, you know what you can do? You can pull out your phone, you can go to webmd.com, and you can put in your symptoms, and you can find out at least one thing that might be wrong with you, right? And how many of us, when we get sick, we want to know what's wrong, and so we're going to seek out a way that we can fix it. And many of us are spiritually sick, and we are not seeking out ways to fix it. We are not even concerned. And the first way that we fix our spiritual drought, our spiritual sickness, is coming together as a family on Sunday mornings, gathering and experiencing the grace that God has set out for us. Every Lord's Day, the first thing we should do is set aside time to gather with believers. And we've been told multiple times this is not a Sunday morning decision. This is a conviction that we have. I am where I am today because my father had a conviction that we were going to be in church every Sunday. There was not going to be one Sunday we missed. It was unheard of. We woke up not asking the question if we were going to church. We woke up knowing we were going to church. And there were times in high school that I didn't want to go to church. And I would wake up and I would say, I'm sick. And my dad would say, put on your pants and let's go, right? There was no if. We were going to church. He had said it in his heart that we were going to church. And if you met my father is not super holy. He's just stubborn. And we need stubborn men and women that say we're not asked for us. We're going to be with our family. This is the Lord's Day. We're going to set it aside for Him. We need that. And it's tough. It's tough. At the house right now, we have two kids, right? And I know we made that decision. Y'all didn't make that decision. But guess what? Two kids is harder to get together than one kid. But it's worth it to be here. It's worth it. Part of the reason, well, if I didn't show up, well, you know, someone's got to preach, right? But it's worth it to be here. As a family, it's worth it to come together and worship. It is the Lord's Day. Set aside time to gather with your fellow believers on the Lord's Day. Not only that, but here's the second thing I think you should do on the Lord's Day. Based on the Scriptures, based on the Word of God, this is what I think you should do on the Lord's Day. The first is set aside time to gather with your fellow believers. The second one is like it. Set aside time to refresh your soul. Set aside time to refresh your soul on the Lord's Day. You need rest. You need rest. You need a time out every once in a while. And God has so ordained the world that this is a day of rest. This is a day that we relax. This is not a superstitious day, right? We don't want to put laws upon it that are so superstitious that we say, I know, maybe you've said this. I love this, though. If you go fishing on Sunday, what do you catch? Devil. You catch the devil, right? We don't want to be superstitious, right? But you do need to set aside time to relax, to refresh. Go worship with your church family, then go home and take a nap. Some of y'all need it, right? Sometimes the most holy thing you can do is lay your head on that pillow and nap, rest. Read a book. Go for a walk. Take your kids fishing. Maybe you disagree with that. That's fine. But if it's rest and it's relaxation, and you're reminding them, we went to church this morning and now we're going to relax. And this is the way we relax. And this is the way we give thanks to God for creating a world that we can relax in. Relax. Rest. Refresh yourself. Listen to Christian hymns or Christian music. Do whatever you can to take care of your soul on a Sunday. We should be reading our Word every day, but Sunday ought to be the day that we set aside time to rest in God's Word. We must rest. We need it. If we do not rest, you are looking at a short life. Now, doctors can tell you that. There's nothing spiritual inherently about that. But if you are going to stress yourself out, then your life will be short and we will miss you. So rest. Work 6 days, but rest on the seventh. You need to take time to refresh your soul. You need to do works of mercy on the Sabbath day. Many of us, we have neighbors, and we need to do works of mercy. What better day to do good to our neighbor than on Sunday? If we see our neighbor working in the yard on Sunday, we don't need to stop and say, hey, you ought to be in church. Put them tools up. Right? No, we need to come over there and bring them some water. Bring them some lemonade. Acts of mercy on the Sabbath day. This is the day to do good works. And so let's do good works on the Lord's day. We ought to set aside time to gather with fellow believers. Secondly, we ought to set aside time to refresh our soul by resting and doing works of mercy or works of good. And last but not least, and probably most important, on the Sabbath day, on the Lord's day, once a week, we ought to set aside time to remember that Christ is our ultimate rest. It does you no good to come to church week in and week out if you do not know Jesus as your Savior. What you are doing, if you are coming week in and week out and you have not trusted Jesus, you have not repented of your sins, you have not placed your faith in Him, you are storing up for yourself wrath upon wrath. And so the thing that we must do every week is we must confess our faith in Jesus. He has saved us. We repent of our sins. We turn our life on the works of the flesh. We turn our life on the things that we have done wrong in the past. We turn our life on those and we turn to Jesus. He is the reason that we gather. He is our salvation. He is our hope and our stay. And so we come to Jesus and weekly we trust in Him. This is not a one-time event. This is not I raise my hand at church, I walk the aisle at church. No, this is a lifestyle of repentance. And once a week, at least, we need to stop and say, thank you, Jesus, that I don't have to earn my salvation. Because that is not a job I can do. That is not a rock I can lift. That is not a mile I can run. I need Jesus. So once a week, at least once a week, we must gather together and remember that Christ is our ultimate rest. Remember that He is our Sabbath. And then we remember that He promises us not just a Sabbath rest today, not just a Sabbath rest on a Sunday, but just as surely as Sunday will come, next Sunday we'll be here. Saturday, the sun will set. Sunday morning, the sun will rise. Just as surely as the days pass, we are promised a Sabbath rest with Jesus in heaven. The sun will set on this world. The sun will rise on the next, and we will be with Christ in the New Jerusalem, a Sabbath rest for all eternity. Not just 24 hours, all eternity. And so today, you and I repent of our sins, and we trust in that Sabbath. What can you do on the Lord's Day? Set aside time to gather with your family, with your church family. Set aside time to worship. God deserves it. Set aside time to refresh your soul. You need it. Your neighbor needs it. Set aside time to do good works. And last but not least, set aside time to remember that Christ is our ultimate rest and will provide for us an eternal Sabbath to all who trust in Him. This morning, will you trust in Jesus? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We pray this morning that You would bless Your Word. And we pray that by Your Word, You would build Your church. Help us, Lord, to trust in Jesus as our Sabbath rest. It's in His name we pray. Amen.